Of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God sings. God saves, there is hope in your name. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, call on your Savior, fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in
us. humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us your hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God, oh Jacob. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God, oh Jacob.
There'll be a mic coming around at this time to share our joys and concerns. Just two off the top of my head, Sarah and Daniel went to visit Mason Hartraft, I believe it was on Thursday or Friday. And he's got a pretty tough road ahead with his eye. From what I understand, when they were on their field trip to Crystal Cave, he was using a metal hammer to smash open one of those round geode rocks, and that wasn't exactly the instruction they were given to do, but it shattered and went in his eye. So it sounds like it did some pretty severe damage. Thanks. And the other one is Daniel will be going in Tuesday morning for his inpatient procedure. He'll be in from Tuesday morning until, we don't know. So this time I need you to pray for seizures. I've always asked you to pray for no seizures. Now we need to pray for seizures because now we need to have some so the doctors can see what's going on. So is there anybody else that has any joys or concerns to share? And again, as Pam said, keep the fake family in your prayers. It was their daughter, Julie, that passed, not Janice.
See in the bulletin, but they were having a love offering for Tony Fazio this Sunday and next Sunday to help him pay for some of his medical bills that the insurance didn't pay for. So that'll be this Sunday and next Sunday.
I'm not sure, Mike. I thought I heard that was canceled to do that. Tell you what, it is canceled. It is canceled. So, okay. So, yeah, the love offerings for Tony have been canceled because he has found a way to make his medical expenses being met.
I'd like to ask prayer for one of my coworkers. Her name is Louise. She was just recently diagnosed with ALS, and it's hitting her really hard. So if you could just keep her friends and family and her in your prayers.
Elise? Louise.
And before we start here, just to make you even more nervous than you might already be, Music and Worship did ask us to record this morning's service for the Brethren Hour tonight. So we'd like to greet all those listening on WLBR this evening and hope you enjoy the service.
Thanks, Mark. Let's pray. Father, first and foremost, we'd like to thank you for today and thank you for this congregation. And Lord, we just know that you are the all-healing one, and we ask your loving hand and healing hand over Mason, and we ask that you guide his doctors, that they might heal his eyes, so that he won't need any more surgeries, and we ask that you look over Daniel over the next week, and that you allow him to have these episodes so that the doctors might see what they need to get to figure out this this disease, Lord. And we ask that you be with the Fake family and the loss of their daughter, Julie. We know that she's with you and in a much better place than she was here, Lord. And we ask you to keep Louise covered with your healing hand, Lord. And Lord, we thank you again for all these amazing people within this church. And Lord, we ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Good morning, girls. I'm glad you came this morning, so I have some children to tell my story to. Thank you. So, look what I brought with me this morning. What is this? A newspaper. Yes, it is. Do you get these at your house at all? Or do mom and dad ever pick any up? Sometimes, maybe? Yeah. Newspapers are very important. Why do you think they're important? They have all the news in them. Very good answer. Yes. Every day, millions of people pick up the paper to learn more about what's going on in our world, in America. So the first section is usually filled with lots of big news that's going on. Then we have more of our local news, and we have weather, and things with dining and entertainment and even sports. Do you like sports? You like swimming? Ooh, well, they might have swimming in the newspaper as well. Everything a person might want to know about their world and community is printed in here every day. Did you know the newspaper has been around for a long time? Really long time. This was usually the only way people could get their news. There used to be newsboys that would go around crying out, "Extra, extra, read all about it." He called out to get the attention of people who were passing by so that they would know, so that they would come to him to buy a newspaper. And that was the way that the news was spread in those days. So how do people get their news today? Newspaper is not the only way. How else can people get their news? Let's think about it. What about the TV? Yeah, we have news on our television, and the internet is a big one these days, isn't it? You can get online. There's lots of news online. You could hear news just by simply a person around you could tell you about news, right? Yeah. So people get their news in many different ways. So it might be the newspaper, it might be on the radio or the television or the internet. No matter how we get our news, though, it is important for us to know that what is going on in the world around us. So this newspaper right here, it reminds me of some very important news that we need to share. That's the good news of Jesus. You know, Jesus wanted everyone to know the good news of God's love. And the story of Jesus is over 2,000 years old, but it's still new today. Do you know why? Jesus helps people every day, doesn't he? He's always doing amazing things in people's lives. So he wants us to keep telling his good news all over. So how do you think people could get the good news of God's love? How do you think people know that God loves them? How do you think people could get that news? The Bible. Very great answer. Yes, the Bible. They could also hear news on the television, the newspaper, radio that involve God and Jesus as well. But the best way to spread the good news of God's love is the same today as it was in Jesus' day. The best way is for you and me to just simply tell others about him. You could tell others to believe the good news and tell them that God and Jesus loves them. Okay? So what I'd like you to do is take one of these cards back with you to share the good news that Jesus loves you. Okay, so I would like you to, it says, on the front it says, you know what? You open it up and have a picture of Jesus. It says, Jesus loves you. And on the back it says, that's good news. So I would like you to take one of these today and decorate it and maybe give it to someone that you know to let them know that Jesus loves them. Okay, spread the good news. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, may we follow your example and share your good news of God's love with everyone we meet. Amen. Thank you, girls.
As we prepare to take our tithes and offerings, I'd like to read from the scriptures from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. A giving attitude is more important than the amount given. The person who can give only a small gift shouldn't be embarrassed. God is concerned about how a person gives from his or her resources. According to that standard, the giving of the Macedonia churches would be difficult for us to match. God himself is a cheerful giver. Consider all he has done for us. He is pleased when we, who are created in his image, give generously and joyfully. Do you have a difficult time letting go of your money? It may reflect ungratefulness to God. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to bless the offerings that we bring before you this day. Use them for the works of your church. May we give generously. Amen.
Feel the mountains tremble. Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar?
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 24. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
So how many of you have been to Knoebels or amusement park? You've been on a roller coaster. You've been on that thing called the whip. I'm going to take you on that whip right now. We're going to go up and down. And once you get in this brain here, it's a jumble of stuff. And I'm going to try to put a coherent thought together and give it to you. But we're going to go on a roller coaster here because I want to touch on Paul's letter to Thessalonica after he had gone and spread the gospel there, returned to Corinth, and feared that maybe there was some false teachings going on, sent Timothy back, and got this glowing report that they were following the gospel. So, this is also one of my favorite books in the Bible. And this chapter and verses in particular, and how can we apply it here, and how I feel that I can apply it to everyday living for me, and how I think maybe you guys can also. So, looking out amongst you in first service here, usually we have an older generation. I'm not sure about you, and I can actually look out. I know some of you can already say yes to this. I was raised in a Pennsylvania Dutch household. My grandmother would say, if you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. You talk to John High in particular. If I spend too much time with John High, or if I spend some time with Paul Swigert, I come home and Sarah said, you were with John High today because you're talking like this. You're talking like you're Dutch today. So she knows if I've been at the shop with you or something because I come home and I have more of a Dutchy accent. It's not a bad thing. If you ain't Dutch, you ain't much. Either way, we're also known as being stubborn and obstinate, or at least I am. Sarah will tell you that. But my grandfather took the cake. I'm sure you've all come home from work or come home from church and you sit down to lunch and you just sit down to eat and there's a knock on the door or the phone rings, but in particular this time a knock on the door and you answer it. Well, that would happen. I spent some time with my grandparents after my parents moved across the country. And I was in my early 20s. And it always seemed that it would happen with my grandfather. And there would be a knock on the door. And he'd be gone for 30 seconds. And he'd always come stumbling, you know, or mumbling something as he came back in the dining room. And my grandmother would say, who's that? And he'd say, oh, it was a Jehovah's Witness. I threw him off the porch. This was a Christian man. And I thought, well, that's, you're a Christian man. He obviously, and sometimes he would tell them what church he belonged to and then promptly throw them off the porch. And I thought, well, that's not showing them anything. If they think less of us, we're proving them right. So I couldn't understand how you could be rude to someone like that, a stranger that was simply doing no more than what you or I do if we bump into someone and say, hey, do you know Jesus? So, and that happens to us at our house. On a Sunday, many people come to our house and they drop pamphlets off in the doors for other churches. We get a lot of people that come to the house. And the funny thing is we're never rude to them. Sarah, a lot of times, will either invite them in or she'll say, I got a book for you to read. Let's talk about this. We go to this church. We make sure every time that they come to the house, we make sure that they know where we go to church and that this is what we believe. That's the way to handle a situation like that. I'm guilty of reacting. I'm a reactor. I spew and don't think. I'll say phrases that I'm watching them hang out like a bubble in a cartoon, and I think, wow, that was probably not good to say that. And then when you read some of this, you know, from Thessalonians here, what Paul says, you think, well, I can really apply that, and here's how you can do that. Verses 12 through 24 speaks of compassion, tolerance, embracing change, moving forward, encouragement. That's what Paul's letter was to the church of Thessalonica, was a letter of encouragement. He gets this glowing report that they're following the gospel, that they are following his teachings when he was there of Jesus. So he sits down and writes this letter because he's so happy that this is continuing, especially after having been pretty much run out of Thessalonica. So he writes this letter of encouragement. And they're spreading the good news. He's just simply saying, way to go. Keep doing what you're doing. How many times have you encountered a situation where something's been foreign to you, something that we're not accustomed to? How can I use an example for you? Someone's asked you to do something maybe you're not familiar, or you're too busy today. And maybe, I know I've acted unfavorably a lot of times, just simply because I'm busy, I can't be bothered with this. Instead of stopping to think, well, I maybe shouldn't choose my word. I should choose my words better. And I often think, after I say something, wow, you know, there was a movie. I won't say the name of the movie, but the mom always says to the son, "Is this where you want to be when Jesus comes back?" Well, I think to myself, if Jesus was standing in the room with me, would I have spoken like that? Well, the problem is he is. He is in a room with me. He knows my heart. He knows exactly what I said. So it doesn't matter if he's standing beside me or not. I'm still guilty of speaking those words. So I try to respond differently. Maybe something doesn't fit in my schedule that day, and I react unfavorably. So if you look at Thessalonians 5:12, Paul says, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you." I use Pastor Matt as my example for this. Many times he's come to me when I've been busy, and he says, "Can you do this? I need you to do this. I need you to do this." And I got a sick kid at home. I'm not even home from work yet. I sometimes have a tendency to, instead of responding, knowing full well I'm going to do it anyway, instead of just responding favorably, my mouth runs away before my brain goes, wait a minute, no. I use Matt because it's perfect for that one verse there that Paul writes. To respect those who worked hard among you and who are over you in the Lord. Every verse in this chapter has something to do with spreading the good news. We here as a church, as a congregation, have gone through tons of changes just in my time being here. I mean, there's 1,000 pounds in speakers hanging on the wall. I see air conditioners on the walls. There's a new sound system put in here. All these things that have changed. Some ways, I mean, I wouldn't say anything for the worse, but changes. How we respond to those changes is how we reflect how Jesus would want us to respond to those changes, I should say. I've seen people in just the last 12 years attend, and then I never see them again. I've spoken to others that like to go to other churches. They like that different kind of worship. Our church here is evolving in a way, and we'll touch on a couple more of these verses here in chapter 5. But these are all ways here that we can look at this part of Thessalonians, look at ourselves, and help us grow within this church and within Jesus. Look at verse 14. "We urge you, brothers, to warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone." Well, right there, to be patient with everyone, I have an issue because I have no patience at all. And that's, patience is a virtue which I don't possess. Sometimes I have a hard time understanding how someone can't understand. Sometimes I forget that then the others may feel the same about me. I'm not good with books. I'm not book smart. You put a piece of machinery in front of me and I'm money. But you give me a book, I struggle. I'm also a realist. I know some, maybe not here, anywhere, doesn't matter whether it's within these walls or not. I know some don't appreciate worship with guitars, with basses, with drums. It's not everybody's cup of tea. I can tell you, I did a fill-in job last year at a church down in Lancaster where I was asked to fill in for a guitar player for a worship team down there in a 6,000-member church. I've been playing live in other bands for 20-plus years. I have never played in front of that many people in my life. And this was at a church. I loved the music part of it. The worship part wasn't my cup of tea. I really couldn't grasp how you could be just completely immersed in a word while there's smoke machines going off behind me and the strobe lights are blasting. And to some people, that's the younger generation. They love that. That wasn't my thing. But it says, warn those who are idle. I think about the youth we have in this church here. I don't think Paul's saying warn those who are idle, literally, physically idle, sitting idle. I think he's talking warn those who are idle in their walk with Jesus. I had an opportunity last week to spend some time with the senior high Sunday school kids. It's actually twice in the last few months I had an opportunity to do that. I love spending Sunday school time with these kids because when I normally do junior high, it's hard. It's like pulling teeth to get them to talk to you. But the senior high kids, they respond. They're very honest. It's hard sometimes to get an answer out of them because they think you may not want to hear what they have to say, but I value their opinion immensely. So I think us getting them involved as we've been doing the last few years here, long time actually, but I'm trying to meet them where they are right now. And so that they do not continue or do not sit idle in their walk. And again, I'm just using the youth as an example. This applies to everybody. He's not saying sitting here idle in this pew. He's saying sitting idle in your walk. I know sometimes and again, I'll use myself as an example. Patience. We have to use. I've got to be patient with these kids. If I'm not patient with them and encouraging them, as Paul was encouraging the Thessalonians, their idleness will continue. That's why I'm so encouraged when I get a response from them. In verse 18, he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many times have we pushed back? I have. Maybe not everyone in this room, but I have pushed back against something we so desperately disagreed with. Yet it happens anyway. It doesn't change anything, but makes us miserable in that moment. It's not our will. It's not our choice. If it will be, it will be. Verse 17 says, pray continually. I've done this because, just for argument's sake, something at work isn't going my way. I've been there. I get frustrated. I get angry. And the inevitable happens. It's not my choice to make. I find if I stop and I pray about it, the difference is immense. I'm at peace with the situation at that point, simply because I have now come to the realization that it's not my choice. My favorite verse, though, is verse 19. He says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Think about that. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. When I sat down and was typing, I thought of, I could spend the next 2 days here talking about that one handful of words that Paul wrote. I'll use this as an example. And you have to forgive me because I have very few examples to pull from in my life, but music is a huge part of my life. That's why I pull from that. If I'm playing music on a Sunday morning, I've been told, your eyes are closed. And I say, they are? I don't have all of this music memorized, or the words. And I don't know if you can hear the mistakes, but I know they're there. And sometimes I'll get one of these from Dave, and be like, he'll smile at me, like, it's okay. I don't even realize my eyes are closed half the time. Sarah will tell me, how do you even read that when your eyes are closed? I don't know, I'm reading it. I don't know that I'm reading it. To me, I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm not up here so focused, that's why I make mistakes, so focused on that one sheet. I'm totally Spirit-led. I'm not thinking about playing music at that moment. That is my connection with Jesus, is through music. So, some of us have that one kid that always seems to be up to something. It's usually, now this is Daniel, it's usually when it gets real quiet in the kitchen. If you wait, you'll hear giggles. If you wait till you get the giggles, you're in trouble. If you catch the quietness before you get to the giggles, you usually don't have a massive, you know. His comment to me about, I'm just using this because it just happened. The other day, Daniel wanted to make Kool-Aid. He didn't ask anybody. If you've poured Kool-Aid out of one of those containers, you get a tablespoon on your palm and it stains you. People dye their hair with this stuff. So you don't want it on your white anything, let alone on something that will absorb it. And it's real quiet in the kitchen. And I say, Daniel, what are you doing? And he doesn't respond. And I quick ran out in the kitchen 2 seconds before the giggling would have started. And he had the container. He had finished the last of the Kool-Aid and left about, I don't know, half of an inch in the bottom of the container. And he filled it up with water. And he was just getting ready to pour a whole entire container of this powder into it. And I was just envisioning this mess. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm making Kool-Aid. I said, how do you know how to make Kool-Aid? Did Mom teach you? And he said, no. I said, how do you know how to make Kool-Aid? He said, I don't know. I guess I just led to do it. He's like, who led you to do it? I don't know. It just led me to do it. And I'm thinking as I'm reading this part of the scripture, I don't think Paul's saying the Spirit led Daniel to make Kool-Aid and make this mess on the kitchen floor, which he did not. If the giggles would have started, we would have had a mess. He's talking to the people of Thessalonica about never allow the Holy Spirit to be quenched. He don't put out the Spirit's fire. The final verse here that I wanted to touch on is, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. I know that reacting, speaking out of, quite honestly, speaking out of anger. Pam knows a few weeks ago, sometimes I have a short fuse, and I have to figure out how to deal with situations better. And, if things don't go my way, I have a tendency to like, oh, what am I going to do? It's like the end of the world. You know that's true. That happened a few weeks ago. I got to do all this. And he calls us to it. He will do it. I can't stress this enough. All these things that Paul was talking about is encouragement, is teaching us how to treat others, to work toward being closer to Jesus. He is faithful. He will do it. What is going to be will be. It is not up to us to decide that. I know that I need to learn to stop pushing back against his will. He's calling all of us. We need to let those frustrating moments in our lives turn into teachable moments, the spreading good news. I encounter a lot of people, now that I no longer am a full-time employee at camp, I'm working back out in the secular world, and working in the business I work in is not, you have to have thick skin, I'll just say that. I actually work with a family member of Pastor Bob Krause. And this gentleman is, he would give you the shirt off his back. Awesome kid. Awesome kid. He's strayed away. He's not into, you know, I can't give him this book and say, here's the truth. I've tried. He hands me a YouTube link and says, that's a conspiracy. So every day at work, I make every attempt to spread this news with him. No matter how frustrated I get, and believe me, when I walk in, I'm already setting myself up for failure because I know the response, but I don't stop. It's how we react or respond. It's how we move forward. It's do we encourage, especially with the youth and the younger generation here. It says, let's not meet wrong with a wrong. We need to use times of frustration and unease as teachable moments. And we need to show God's love and be a reflection of him. So again, I told you I was going to take you on this roller coaster, and I hope you were able to follow this train of thought, because I could have sat and typed for days. I just felt this chapter in the Bible, this book, this in particular, 12 through 24, these verses, spoke to me about things that I've done and things that I see go on in this church. I've seen it in many other churches, not that I've attended or been a member of other churches, but when we travel on the weekends, it's amazing how you can walk into a completely foreign church, how quickly people will be happy to, and this is sometimes strangers, will complain to you. I was in a church in Philadelphia with my wife's sister last year, not quite a year ago, and they had an amazing praise band, and after they were finished playing, I had a chance to speak with one of the girls that was up there. They had multiple people playing piano, and I had commented, oh, we had, you know, we do one of your songs I play at church, and her response wasn't thank you, or response wasn't, oh yeah, this is amazing. Her response was, we have too many piano players. I was like, what? That's not where I was going with it. I just simply said, oh, I love that one song. We do that at church too. And she said, there's too many piano players for that. So that's not really complaining, but you get the idea. So when we find ourselves in these moments of frustration or anger, think about Paul's letter and encourage and lift up and use them as teachable moments. This is Jesus' word that he spread there. I think we need to continue to do that here. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for all, again, the people within these walls and the understanding and the blessing they've been to this church. And I just ask that you enter their hearts, show them the way, allow us to speak your word in times of frustration, Lord. when we encounter people that may be difficult or frustrating to us, Lord, we just ask that you give us your words to give to them, to encourage them, so that they might see you in us. Lord, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Will you please rise and join us in singing, "He is Exalted"?
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name. Forever exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is. The King is exalted on high.
Let's go out today and do just what we talked about here. If you encounter someone, encourage them. Speak highly. And always be a reflection of Jesus. Go now in peace.